Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Alara Canfield Show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited for today's conversation. We have a brand new guest with us, Brad Johnson, and he's going to be channeling Adranus at some point, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. I actually met Brad, not physically, not in person, but I actually met Brad through a session. I had a session with him a couple of weeks ago. Feels like so much longer. But I had been, I found out about him maybe sometime last year. I don't even know when. You know, he was somebody who was mentioned to me, and, you know, one thing led to another. I watched some of his YouTube videos, you know, and he was like, oh, you know, it looks really interesting. It's like, maybe I should do a session. So a few months later, it's like, okay, let me go do a session with Brad. And then after the session that I had with Brad, then I asked him, hey, would you like to be on my show? So sometimes, you know, I know that sometimes guests come on shows and, you know, that's the first time that the host meets them. But I had actually been interested in Brad for quite a while. So I'm so glad that he is here with us. And he's actually, you know, Canadian. Woo-hoo! So I always love to, you know, welcome my Canadian fellow Canadians, because I sometimes, you know, I miss my Canadian friends. So Brad is a channeler, and he's a healer, a spiritual teacher. He works with the Akashic Records, his own modality as well that he's created, inner self disciplines, and so much more. And Brad has developed abilities to understand how reality interacts with us on a personal and collective level. And so Brad's going to be sharing his higher mind knowledge from all over the world, reflecting his empowering spiritual journey for, I guess it's been a decade, probably longer. And he's discovered how to form intuitive relationship with the reflections of reality to attract outcomes that serve self-governing, mental clarity, and emotional balance. And Brad holds a natural conscious ability to connect with the higher mind, higher self, or collective consciousness. And through this connection, Brad can receive and share information through these expansive universal planes of reality. And today we're going to be talking about integrating the higher self consciousness. And I will let Brad talk a little bit more about Adranus in just a few minutes. But before we even go there, I just want to welcome you, Brad, to the show. It's going to be interesting. I have no idea what we're going to talk about yet, other than higher self.
Thank you very much for having me, Alara. I appreciate it.
And so for all of you listening and watching, if you do have a question for Brad, you can either type it in the chat, or when we're not doing an actual process, you can raise your hand or unmute yourself and ask a question, okay? So just, you know, we will be at some point maybe doing a process, and Brad's going to probably be channeling Adranus as well during the show. So we'll, you know, as some of you know, for me, it's always about going with the energy, following the energy, you know, following what I'm guided to do from by spirit as well, including the questions I ask. I don't have any questions other than, hey, Brad, tell us a little bit about yourself.
we could start there. In that way. Again, well, people can just go to my website. It's newearthteachings.com. If you go to the About section with About Brad, then you'll find out my entire journey. So I won't go too much into detail with that because we have more time to look into other stuff. But basically, I've been doing this since 2008. Before 2008, I was never into this stuff at all. And it wasn't until summertime of 2008 when I was writing a novel, I wanted to do research and I wanted to know more about the extraterrestrial presence, about what is really going on. And all of that research led me into getting involved with meditation, which I'd never done before. And then I went to a library, took out a book called Learn How to Meditate, read it from front cover to back cover within a matter of days, did all the exercises in it, and started going through these download states. So I would start going to sleep at night, waking up the next morning knowing things I did not know before. This still happens to this day. So there's times where I just wake up and people bring in some type of stimulation of subject. All of a sudden, you know, the voice becomes itself and the information starts to come out relating to insight on that topic. And it's personalized, because when I start talking to people, all the information becomes personalized for them. So when I'm speaking on a general level, there's notice that there's a bit of a change with the philosophy as it comes together. But as I start speaking to other people, it becomes personalized philosophy, right? So it is the idea that, you know, through energy healing, through meditation, through channeling, Akashic records, different forms of healing modalities that I've created over the years, all of this has just been the process of me doing what I know I'm here to do. So I met Adronis in December of 2009. And a friend was actually telling me, December of 2008, a friend of mine who was also a channel came up to me when I was just starting to learn channeling and said, "Well, Brandon, you have very strong connections to Sirius, the star of Sirius, Sirius A, the dog star. And it feels like there's somebody there who wants to talk to you. So you might want to get in touch with him." Right. So I went into my process and I started connecting, and Adronis was there, and he referred to himself as a being 297 years within the future, who's come back at this time to help me to spiritually evolve. And as I spiritually evolve, I'll be taking people with me as I spiritually evolve as well too. And we all spiritually evolve together. And so that was the nature of our agreement in that way. So like I said, the big story is on my website. Mm-hmm. But since that time, so for about almost 10 years, I've been channeling Adronis, and he's very, very direct, very loving energy as well too, very masculine. Really, in actuality, his essence is androgynous, right? So Adronis is actually kind of a play on words that means androgynous.
Right.
So there's a female counterpart known as Rayar as well too that I channel. So I basically I look at them in the aspect of the masculine and feminine counterparts. But as I understand more about androgyny myself, then I'm able to connect with those two aspects as a whole, as a he-she in that way, right? So that again has just been my journey. I've been connecting with the Akashic Records. I've done several different healing systems. The newest healing system right now is called the EQ method, which is all about equivalence. It's an instant healing core system that's available on my website right now. And it's basically only takes about 20 minutes to do. So a person can come up to me with the most extensive and harsh traumas they have. After a session, most commonly, they're better. They're feeling better in that way. So it's something on a level that compares to like hypnosis or shamanic healing in that particular way. But we go right into the root of issues, and then we start to substitute it with something that makes us feel wonderful. And that's basically the entire process, is substituting one particular emotional trauma for another higher, more powerful and positive emotion that comes together, and that replaces the old trauma.
And you know, when I had my session with you, I had the personal session with you. Plus, I also had the Akashic spiral reading.
Oh, the spiral Akashic reading, right? Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. As well.
I think so. I don't know. I guess so. I have so many clients, I can't keep track of who has what.
Yeah. And so it was really interesting to just get the information as well as the healing. And when I had the private session with you and Adronis, I was saying before we went live, was he kicked my butt. He was strong talk, you know, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. And so sometimes, you know, when you receive information that I knew it, right? Mm-hmm. But I still needed to hear it so that I would take a different action, I guess, right? So sometimes it's a validation and confirmation, but it also the energy of Adronis was very, you know, strong but kind.
Well, it's the whole idea. It varies from person to person, because really Adronis is a mirror for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So there's times where he's really sweet and really kind and just giving so much love to a person. The other person is that they're not getting this, because the reason why Adronis is being hard on them is because their own guides are coming to Adronis and saying, "She's not getting it. She's not getting this idea. You got to rough her up a little bit." All right, we'll do that. Right. So he's actually getting a report from your guides. He's getting a report from your higher self. He's being informed about what's actually happening, saying, "Oh, what's this about you not doing this?" And, you know, all this stuff that's happening, right? Yeah. So that's when it gets a little bit, I wouldn't say harsh in that way, but it's just the idea that he's being very direct. And he's basically speaking on behalf of how your guides and your higher self are speaking to you. So if you've been dawdling in that sense and not really listening to their information, mm-hmm. then he's just going to reflect that from how your guides feel about you right now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it was perfect, you know, I think since then I've made some major changes, so yay. But I wanted to, you know, like, I'm glad we're talking about integrating the higher self, because of course, you know, I have questions still, you know, like, I don't think I'll ever come to a point where I won't have any questions, you know. It's like, there's so much for us to know, you know. It's like, yes, I'm connected to my higher self. Yes, I know stuff about my higher, but there's so much more that I don't know. And, but for me also, it's, you know, as I had told you, I think in the session, I had connected recently to, somebody, Aranya, you know, who it turns out is, part of my galactic oversoul. Mm-hmm. Before that conversation, the past couple of weeks, I didn't even know what that was. So now it's like, oh, okay, I need to learn about this. And so I started searching on your YouTube channel as well. It's like, what is oversoul? What is galactic oversoul? Mm-hmm. You have a lot of stuff on there, right?
Well, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, I want to know a lot about this. I want to know a lot about this. Knowing is not really important, guys. And I'm going to say that to everybody that's on this call right now. It's not important to know. It's mm-hmm. much more important to do, right? Mm-hmm. To apply yourself, right? So looking into your own heart, and if your own heart is saying, oh, look into the idea of oversoul. Okay, go ahead and look at it, right? If it's on your heart saying, oh, go ahead and look at more stuff for the higher self or about maybe diets that can help yourself, then go ahead, right? But you're going through the filter. You're going through the prism of your heart, and your heart is saying, look into this. Yeah. Don't worry about looking at all this other melodrama, et cetera, because that's only going to distort yourself more and more, right? So this is why, again, that we want to be very mindful of the knowledge that we're constantly putting into ourselves each and every day. Because I have people just coming up to me and saying, oh, Brad, there's this being, or there's this thing happening, and this thing's happening. I said, well, if I haven't been guided to even look at it, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really the whole idea, is that if it's not personally happening to you, it's malleable, right? Which means you're able to let it go, right? Only look into that which you feel is you're being guided to, you're working together with yourself. You don't have to know everything on this planet. You won't be able to. It's not mm-hmm. possible. Right? Mm-hmm. So the whole idea is just being able to look what you feel you need to know, that it is worthy enough to apply in your life so that you know it's serving you. So in order for you to understand who you are, you firstly have to look into what you're not. Mm.
Ooh. I like that. You know, you have to look into what you're not. So what are we not?
You only know who you are the very last moment that you're alive on this planet, right? That's getting an idea about your personality complex. You'll know, okay, I was this person because now I'm just about to cross the threshold. I'm about to go back into source consciousness or the astral realm. And now I got an idea about what I am in this lifetime. I understand its theme. So as we're still living this particular theme, you're going through the cycle of what I'm not, what I'm not, what I'm not, what I'm not. Mm-hmm. And now this is creating the aspect of an opposite reaction. And now that's catapulting you into the light, right? And so that's helping you to understand more about what do I not want to do today? Well, I don't want to lay around. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be, you know, cleaning head to toe, et cetera, et cetera. So now you're getting an impression about what is remaining within yourself. And as you do that more and more, you naturally wake up and you know exactly what you're going to do because you've went through the filters of what you're not.
Interesting. And all of that has to do with, you know, what are your desires? What are you focusing on? What are you choosing for yourself, right? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can certainly look at desires in that way. But you play with desires until you realize you don't need them anymore. You play with passions until you realize you don't need them anymore, right? So when you're excited about something, yeah, absolutely, go for it, right? Play with that excitement until it's like chewing gum that's lost its flavor, right? You're spitting it out now and you don't need to worry about that passion anymore because you feel in harmony with what you're currently creating, right? And then you go and you focus on other things and you're chewing the gum with them and the flavor's gone, plah, spit it out. Now you're in harmony with all of that as well too. So it's all about being able to create as much harmony in your life as possible, because what you're basically doing is you're going up a scale, right? The lower self, the physical self, is a scale. The only reason we're on that scale right now is because we give so much power to physical reality.
Right.
That's it. You're addicted to jobs, you're addicted to everything that the physical reality holds, and you're on this bottom of the scale. But there's also a version of you that's up here. That's the higher self, the architect, right? So you can siphon up and down the scale as you start to realize what you determine your focus is within reality, right? It goes back to that old Star Wars quote, your focus determines your reality, right? Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's all the universe understands. If you are fearful about something, if you're afraid of something, you're scared to death of something, that's going to be your reality. 100% guaranteed. Nobody else is here to give you a hand and saying, hey, I'll create your reality for you. They can't. You're the only one here, right? This is you as a God mind, as a God being. This is your entire universe. Everybody that's here on this call, everybody that's looking at this, they are reflections of themselves. Right? So I'm a reflection of all of you guys. Alara is a reflection of all of you guys. And you've never, ever experienced a whole being, ever. You've only experienced yourself because you're the only whole being that exists. Everybody else is in their own bubble. They're in their reality bubble, their universe bubble. Mm-hmm. And it's bubbles that are touching each other to which you form co-creations with. That creates what's known as a life cluster. Right? So we have clusters of our family, our friends, our coworkers, strangers on the street, whoever we interact with all together. that becomes a cluster. It's like looking at all these bubbles together, intertwining together. And that represents the aspect of co-creation. At any particular moment, the choice that you make, you can therefore depart from that cluster. And you can move into another cluster if you wish. So the whole idea is that everything really is interconnected, and that that which you give relationship and value to becomes the emphasis of what you're creating in life. That's telling you about who you are.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes total sense. And so it is important for us to be aware of our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions, our vibration, and recognize what is going on, right? What are we choosing? What are we creating? Are we aware of that, or are we just on automatic pilot?
Yeah, and you can certainly be on automatic pilot if you choose to be, right? The most important lesson for all of us to realize is the power of our own choice, right? If we do not use choice responsibly, we're going to end up in situations that we know can be a living hell for us, right? We can create chaos because we're not choosing from the heart, we're choosing from the ego, we're choosing from the thoughts, we're choosing from the logic, right? And logic doesn't know how to guide you. It's blind, right? It bumps into walls. Well, oh, this might be a good idea. Poof, nope. Crash into a wall, right? Mm-hmm. When you're actually working together with your heart, when you're working with your intuition, when you're working with the true nature of yourself, it can't lead you wrong, because the heart is able to look at the entire grid. It's able to look at the entire map of reality and saying, okay, if you go forward, then go right, then go left, you're exactly where you need to be. Oh, but that doesn't make sense. I shouldn't be able to do that, right? And then the ego gets in, mm-hmm. and it tries to, again, take over, right? And then it crashes us into walls. It's a blind man. It's a blind trying to lead the blind here. So we want to make sure that whatever we're doing within life is parallel to how we are feeling within the heart. And this is where, again, when you spend more time with the heart, you're spending more time inwards, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now, no offense to the guys. Majority of women have got this covered, right? So really, I would say, go up to people, you know, go up to your wives, go up to your girlfriends, go up to your female friends, whoever it may be, and start to work together with them. They are the masters of the heart, right? So this is what I've been working on for the past 10 years as well, too, is really working with the feminine aspect of ourselves, because each of us, male and female, have masculine and feminine counter components within ourselves, polarities. And so we are able to strengthen either of those by, again, looking into the state of example, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the women, again, are really the natural leaders as it pertains to spirituality, as it pertains to evolution, as it pertains to working together with empathy. Guys, we've just been so hardwired and conditioned to function in the logical aspect, into the logical arena, into reasoning, into everything that has to make sense in a rational means. And that's good. We can certainly use that, because that makes a good builder. That's a good solutionist in that way. That's a good deduction aspect. But the whole idea is that we want to make sure we're integrating both components. And so where you're starving spiritually, bring in the feminine of yourself. And where you feel that maybe you're not as grounded as you'd like to be, bring in the masculine of yourself, right? They complement each other, really. But when you're connecting very, very deeply with spirit, you're going into the feminine energies, because they work very deeply with feeling, with intuition, and with emotion.
And when we are connecting to spirit, connecting to our higher selves, it is through the heart. It's not through the head.
Yeah, it's basically the heart is your gateway. The heart is your gateway to the connection to the higher self in that sense. Now, again, this isn't useless. There's a lot of things going on into the brain as well, too. But what I would really say is that what is lacking, let their self be a greater focus on to balance yourself. And as you're starting to feel balanced, you'll notice your entire being is part of the equation that's helping you to move into that level of consciousness, right? So you have the ability to have great longevity. You have the ability to live 120, 130 years, right? And almost looking as young as a 20 or 30 year old, right? You have the ability to do that. But the whole idea is, if you're getting behind all of these concepts that you know are not a part of yourself, then you're basically taking in all these concepts, and that's actually what's draining a lot of the life out of you, because you still feel it needs to happen in a certain way rather than listening to yourself. We have the ability to be immortal as well, too, right? We have spiritual immortality. And so we can basically keep all of our memories, keep all of our personality, keep everything that is the characteristics of ourselves intact as we leave this body and we become a light body. And we're able to now explore the universe and all of its dimensions with this in-tune light body that we're able to create. And what does that require? Working with yourself, working with mental discipline, understanding your energy that flows within you, listening to your body, listening to your heart, mm-hmm. listening to the true mind in that way, right? So again, like I said, it's a big journey that we can all be on, but we have to start valuing ourselves and looking into what is truth within ourselves.
And a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in the game, the game of life, right? And trying to control how our life should go, right? Because let's face it, you know, some of us, we need to pay bills, you know, we have a family to raise, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's like a lot of times it's like a lot of people are doing things like work-wise that they don't really enjoy, but they have to do it. So then they feel as if they're not on the right path.
Well, that comes back to choice, doesn't it? Right?
It does.
We made some particular choice in saying, this is how I want to live my life, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, maybe that's what I felt. That was my only choice. And maybe I made it out of desperation. Maybe I made it because I was thinking too highly of myself and I wasn't able to come down to earth, right? So what we want to do is we want to make up those ill-conceived choices with new choices that now serve us, right? So if we're basically just, you know, if we're at a string with the boss and, you know, we're getting angry and we're getting irritated about doing our work and we got so many kids that we're trying to take care of, et cetera, we're basically trying to make the old work and we're stumbling over our own feet, mm-hmm. right? You're collapsing over your own weight because you're trying to make something that is no longer compatible with you work. It won't work. You'll basically just implode after that, right? You want to now start developing new choices within yourself that bring about a higher compatibility to where you are. That may be leaving an old job and starting something brand new. That may be moving to a new place for your kids, whatever it may be, right? That may be leaving an old relationship that's now become toxic, whatever it may be. We're looking into something that is now aligning with the new part of ourselves. If we're constantly feeling that we're just in an uphill battle with ourselves, we're struggling, we're fighting, and all that sense, it's telling you everything that you have made in the past with choice is no longer compatible with who you are right now. It's invalid, and you're stumbling over yourself. So now you need to take some time, go into yourself, and start making new choices that make you represent that feeling of love inside yourself to be powerful, to be amazing, to be brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to start making new choices. So what this is we look at the opposite of what that old choice is. If it feels it's a burden, I'm not making enough money, I don't like this job, what would I rather be doing? Oh, I'd love to do this because this I know I could shine at. I know I could really do well with this. Then make your way over there, right? Start building a bridge mm-hmm. and start going over to that new choice. Start going over to that new decision. Oh, but that might be so hard and blah, 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 and then the ego gets in the way, right? So we want to convince ourselves that it's no problem moving from one old choice to a brand new choice. And we've created that bridge. So we want to, again, start bringing compliment to ourselves. We want to create simple acts of kindness to ourselves, to what we're appreciative for, to how powerful we are. We need to look back into all the solutions that we have made in the past that have resolved certain things that are no longer a part of our life. This is what's known as love strengthening, right? We're raising our love levels. And now as we do that, we're able to look into the trauma behind the choices. This is, again, what the EQ method does. And so we're being able to substitute that old abandonment feeling, traumatized feeling, abused feeling, and now we're starting to realize exactly that we can make this choice. Everything is mutable. What in that sense is personable to you and what is beyond personable to you is all changeable, right? So anytime that we're able to make a choice, we're deciding this is where my heart's path is taking me. This is what feels natural for me to get involved with, right? So whenever you're going through that uphill struggle, it's just letting you know your life that you're living right now based on previous choices is no longer compatible with who you are. You need to change yourself completely in order for you to live compatibly with what you're going through right now. So if you have kids, you want to live compatibly with your kids. If you're living with family, you want to live compatibly as much as you can with family, right? So you're doing whatever you feel is natural to you to become compatible with your current existence as it is, because the world's changing. Everything's changing so fast. We're going through a lot of dramatic transformations now on the planet. And if we start falling behind so much, then again, we're going to feel like we're stumbling into chaos here, right? So the whole key here is being able to look into your choices, start making a choice that you know serves you, and make that part of your life as much as possible.
So what if somebody doesn't know? Well, they're like, I'm miserable, you know, I'm not happy, but I don't know what to do or what is my path, you know, what is my purpose? Mm-hmm.
Well, again, that's looking into the idea of the opposite, right? Because you know that this is not your path if you're constantly stumbling over your own feet and you're falling. But a person has to realize that, right? A person will just constantly start doing it and they don't even give it a second thought. Not much you can do with a person who doesn't realize it. It's only when a person realizes that this is not what they're here to do, this is not their life, this is not anything that they feel is part of themselves. Okay, what that involves now is inner work. That involves, again, looking into your choices. That involves going into meditation. That involves spending a little bit of time with yourself and really getting yourself in order. Nobody else can change your life around for you. You have to do it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So you just need to look at that opposite and saying, right now, I feel rejected. I feel rejected by my husband. I don't feel like I'm pleasing him in any particular type of way, or my wife. I don't feel I'm pleasing her in any way. And I need to look at that and saying that, okay, well, what's happening here? This is a trauma of rejection. So I need to look into seeing if I can start developing the opposite. And if that person can follow me into the opposite, and that's great. That means we're meant to be together, right? If it's something that does not work, where you're excelling and you're going further because you're making new choices, that person is stumbling behind, it's giving you the idea, right?
Yeah.
Because the whole idea is that you were once compatible with your partner, but that's no longer the case right now. You've changed a lot to where they can't keep up. And if they can't keep up, then again, that's going to lead to you two parting ways and going in your own journey.
And that's not necessarily bad, you know?
No, the whole idea is that what actually makes it worse is a person who's struggling so hard to make it work when it can't. Because actually what you're doing is you're torturing yourselves. You're torturing yourself and you're actually torturing your partner. That's not love. You're staying there because of an addiction. You're staying there because of a loyalty. You're staying there because of some type of obedience. And that's actually what's going to cause more discord. The greatest love you can give to a person who's no longer able to keep up with you is being able to let them be. That's the greatest love you can do for them, because now they're able to explore their own journey so that they can realize how they're changing as well.
Awesome. Thank you. And so there's a question in the chat. How do we tap into our higher self and learn to read the Akashic Records?
All right. Well, there's a very simple technique that I've taught that's on my YouTube channel, and it's known as entering the theta state. Okay. So when you're going into the theta brainwave state, this is what's known as a highly accelerative or, again, vivid type of inner vision daydream that you're having, right? So if I was to basically say, oh, just imagine you're closing your eyes and you're holding your favorite food item directly right in front of your face and you're starving, you're hungry, you know, how is your mouth going to react? It's going to start watering, right? It's going to start salivating. That's a theta state, right? When you become sexually aroused, you're in a theta state, right? So all these things together are helping you to enter a theta state, which is the peak point of you entering the higher mind, of you actually being able to connect to the higher self, right? So basically, you just go into a state and you just stimulate yourself in any particular type of way, right? Something that's positive, something that works together with you. So you may say, oh, something that really just excited me, something that thrilled me. Maybe I imagined myself on a roller coaster and I had so much fun there, right? And so I'm feeling that effect all over again. And now my body's tingling. It's a rush of spine, of excitement going up and down the spine. Anything that your body physically reacts to as it relates to your imagination, to what your vision is creating, is you going into the theta state. So when you're going into theta, then into a meditative state, you're just imagining this wave of calmness coming through you. And it just feels like every part of your body is tingling, just like a ribbon or a wave that's coming through. And now you're feeling the connection to the God mind, right? What I usually do with people is I just imagine to say to them, go into a void and then go up to a door. This door can be any kind of color, it can be any kind of texture, etc. And when you're relaxed and calm, see yourself walking up to that door, open it up, and now you see a light coming into you, right? This light represents your higher self. This represents the God mind. And now it's getting closer and closer and closer and closer, and you're feeling more relaxed as the light comes closer. Now it's becoming the totality of yourself. And now your whole body feels relaxed. Now you're in theta. Now we can start accessing the God mind when we're in that peaceful, calm, theta band meditation state. And so now we're asking, what am I here to do? You know, financial abundance to come my way, whatever it is that you want to bring in. You just want to create a very simple statement that has a very strong state of certainty, like an absolute statement behind it. So for example, I am infinitely radiant in health. Right? So I'm using that word infinitely, right? Because this is telling me I am the totality of health and I'm always going to be healthy in that way, right? Or you can always say, I have always been radiantly healthy, right? or I am absolutely healthy, right? Something that gives you a very strong statement of certainty. Now, what you want to do is you want to repeat that 33 times, okay? So basically, you're in a meditative state. I am infinitely, radiantly healthy, right? And I'm repeating that 33 times, and I'm envisioning the words as it's coming through as well, too. I am infinitely, radiantly healthy, saying it nice and slowly, and just making sure you're seeing the words in your mind as you say each word. And then you're repeating that a total of 33 times. So 33 represents a master number. It mm-hmm. represents that of a master architect, a spiritual master in that way. And it's one master bringing this intention to the masterfulness of himself. So it's a masterful affirmation numerological sequence. So when you start doing that, you start now going into the higher mind. And now you're noticing that after that meditation, things now start to come your way based upon what you're asking for. You wake up in the morning, you're actually feeling good. And all the other previous days, you felt rotten to the core, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're noticing that there's all these different impressions of transformation together. It's like layers of skin that are falling off. And now you're seeing the true aspect of yourself to come together. So that's one way of being able to connect with the higher mind, is when you're going into theta and then you start communicating with the higher mind. And it takes practice. Mm-hmm. Keep doing it each and every single day. And then you'll notice that your higher self will start becoming natural with you, because you're empowering the focus to allowing the higher self to come up to your band, right? So rather than you being down here, you're raising yourself up a little bit more. And now it's a compatibility with the higher self. So the higher self can now start communicating with you. It can be dream time. It can be in meditation. It can be in vision. It can just be through synchronicity that comes together through your day as well, too. Many different ways about how it comes together, but you're fueling that focus relating to the higher self and making it a part of yourself through each day.
Awesome. Thank you. And
so why don't I go ahead and bring Adronis in now, so okay. we can use the rest of the time there, since we got about maybe 40, 45 minutes left awesome. To bring him through. And so basically, briefly, with Adronis, it just takes me a few moments to connect with his energy. So you'll hear me do some chanting here, and that just allows me to go into a centered state of being to bring him through. You'll also notice that I'll be rotating, or what I refer to as orbiting, in the chair. Okay, that also is representing a reception, right? Being able to bring myself and center myself. It's kind of like being in the center of a vortex, and you're just rotating and orbiting in this way to receive the information that Adronis is going to bring through. So again, it is a semi-conscious state. I'm still very much aware of myself. I'm not leaving my body or anything like that. It's just basically tuning into a transmission that represents Adronis, and then being able to interpret that as a receptacle or a conduit. Okay, so I'll go ahead and actually, I think I might just take a quick brief bathroom break before I do that, and awesome. Then we'll come back and we'll bring Adronis in. So I'll be 1 minute.
Sounds good. And so, you know, one of the, you know, I'll just talk, then, you know, I can talk, no problem. with people. I loved how, you know, Brad mentioned about, you know, doing that exercise every day. So it's not like one time and that's it, and that it's going, you know, you're going to be fully connected to your higher self if you just do it once. You do it every day, and the more you do it, you have more ease as well. Because sometimes, a lot of times, when the first time you do something, the first couple of times, your energy is not really stable and centered, right? You're like excited, you're nervous, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen, right? So the more that you do it, the more ease you have as well. And it strengthens the connection between you and your higher self, right? The more times you do it. And, you know, and for myself, it's like, I never asked any questions of my higher self for years, nothing. Did not ask questions. And I know a lot of times people want to ask like the big questions. Why am I here? What am I doing? Why is nothing working? What is my purpose? You know? What's it going to take to find my soulmate, or, you know, all sorts of stuff like that, right? And so I would just say, you know, go slow with it. Go slow with the process. You know, we all have access to our higher selves. We all can connect to our higher selves, but it does require doing it consistently, you know, on a regular basis, every day if you can. Right. And sometimes, like for me now, it's not a long process anymore to connect with my higher self. It's really quick, and it's more of just an intention. Right. So it does require doing it.
Okay. Ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and bring him in and we'll get started. Tara. Soul Star. Sirius. Adronis. We are here. At this time, we bid you greetings and thank you very much for the opportunity of this interaction today. I am Adronis of Sirius. We say hello to everybody tuning in to this internet collective consciousness transmission. And we say hello to Alara. How may we assist you today?
Hi, Adronis. Thank you so much for being here. And I just want to, you know, continue on this conversation about integrating the higher self consciousness.
Yes.
If you have any more insight that you can share with us.
Well, you simply have to be the higher self yourself. You have to understand exactly what it is to be that energy. Because again, you have to understand that when you are addicted to the physical plane, everything results to the idea of confusion. You are basically existing with fog all around you, 360 degrees, and you do not know where you're headed because you're relying too much on the physical reality in its dense nature to guide you. And so when you start working together with love vibration, when you start bringing in all of that harmony, all of that great kindness and compassion that you have for yourself, now this is helping you to get a realization, an understanding about how you can now start to move up the levels of consciousness where the higher self and yourself are now simpatico. They are now in alignment together with each other. So it is less focus on the external reality because really all the external reality is chaos. And when you're able to align yourself into a particular state of focus, that chaos now becomes natural order. So the whole idea is if you're allowing the aspects of the circumstances of physical reality to guide you, you're going to continue to be confused. So it's about giving yourself time to lighten up, to let yourself feel much more lighter, to allow yourself not to be so hard upon yourself, not to sabotage yourself, not constantly blaming others, feeling it's everybody else's fault that I'm like this. It isn't. It's the whole idea in that sense that you are becoming wiser. You're taking responsibility for your health. You're taking responsibility for your mind. You're taking responsibility for your emotions. You're taking your responsibility for spiritual growth. You're making it all happen. You're talking to your body. You're communicating with your body. You're saying, body, is there anything within yourself that I feel I should be aware of so that I can allow a greater health to come together? And your body will start to communicate with you. You can do this through natural means, through your pendulums, through your muscle testing, through your kinesiology, etc. And you can build yourself up more and more, but your intuition must be on your side. And the intuition comes from within here. The more that you're building up the heart, the more that you're feeling your feelings. And as Brad has stated, women have quite a grasp on this. Men need a little bit more work. But again, not all men, but many in that sense who are still very much contained on a logical, rational aspect of reality. You're only working more so together with the aspect of physical chaos. And again, it is when you are actually in alignment of focus where the mind, where the emotional body, where the physical body is in union, that order now starts to be branched together into your reality. So your feelings are necessary. Your intuition is necessary. Your heart is necessary. And when you start making that your ally, now everything starts to form together in a pattern that you can recognize. Because again, if you're relying so much on the outside and saying, outside, help me, it's only going to be more chaos because your own emotions are so much in an uproar telling you everything that is in despair with yourself. And you're not looking at, you're not checking with the true source. That true source comes through emotions. It comes through mentality. It doesn't come through your physical reality. It's a stage. And so when you start playing with the stage a lot more, the stage is telling you, you're only bringing in this because that's how you feel about yourself. You're only bringing in this situation because that's how you feel about yourself. So the key here, work with the heart. Start being softer upon yourself. Start walking lighter, gentle, subtly with yourself, because that's how the universe works. It is subtle energy. It is not an excessive energy. Emotion is an excessive energy because it's a buildup of feelings stacked upon itself that have not been expressed appropriately. And that's where you're having this huge tidal wave of emotional energy coming into your reality, because you have not given yourself the ability to work with your emotions, to sustain them, to harmonize them, to bring them back into balance. When they're out of balance, chaos ensues, because that's how you're choosing to see yourself.
All right, thank you. And there's a question from Caroline about meditation. And she says that she often in meditation, she gets scared as she loses her breath and jolts back into her body. And since this has happened so many times, she now has trouble letting go. Can you offer something to help?
Well, this is an emotional trauma that's bringing itself out in that particular way. And that's why there's a feeling of instability or feeling of frightfulness that comes together in that meditative state. So again, it's all about just being able to work together with the breath. Even if you want to just keep your eyes open and you're just working with the breath in calmness, out purging out any energy that doesn't serve. So in fresh breath, out stale, used up breath, and just follow that breathing technique. And what you want to do is just look into the aspect in some way as it pertains to a fear, because what it can represent in that sense is feeling it's a fear of death. It's the idea in that sense that something is going to happen that is going to end you. And that's not what's happening at all. So when you're following with the breath, you're putting so much love energy into yourself. You're imagining like you're breathing in the breath of heaven, and heaven is coming in and it's pulling out all the stale, used up energy that doesn't serve. And now you're basically just feeling very, very euphoric. You're feeling very, very at home, at peace with yourself, because you've brought in so much heavenly breath. So now you're allowing yourself to feel so much love within yourself. And now when you close your eyes and you relax, that love becomes your barrier. That love becomes your cushion. And now you're actually starting to look at this because you're feeling so uplifted. You're entering a higher frequency. So when you're starting to enter meditation, what's happening is you're not raising your frequency to the point where that fear in that sense can be surpassed. So what you're doing is you're just starting off in a very simple way to bring as much love into yourself with the heavenly breath. And now you feel all this cushioning of love coming together within yourself. And now that fear is able to come up, but it's not pulling you out of it. You're no longer feeling short of breath because it feels like you're laying down on a heavenly pillow. And you're saying, okay, I can see where this fear is coming from. It's a fear of death. It's a fear that I'm going to be no more. It's a fear that I have a trauma happening within myself earlier that relates to either rejection, abuse, or abandonment. So abandonment representing separation, rejection, not being able to feel accepted with others, the aspect of abuse, feeling again violated. So again, these are the three traumas of humanity: abuse, abandonment, rejection. It falls into one of those categories. I'm angry because of this. I'm upset because of this. I'm sad because of this. I'm afraid because of this. And you're representing one of those three traumas. So once that love starts to become so elevated within yourself, you're able now to look at the observation of yourself in that particular perspective and saying, aha, I've discovered where this fear stemmed from. I feel it is something to do with abandonment. I feel it is something to do with separation. I feel it is something to do with rejection and not feeling valued or accepted. And so now you're being able to go into that now and being able to resolve that with your love being the cushion that's helping you to explore that. And now you're substituting the feeling. So you're substituting that feeling of abandonment, that feeling of rejection, and you're putting love together in its place and saying that, no, now I choose to feel whole. Now I choose to feel accepted. I'm connecting with everything. I feel absolutely in bliss. Good. Use that power of love and overcome that feeling of fear to transmute it in wholeness together with the love itself. So again, this is what's available through this conduit's particular session to which he turns the EQ method.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Caroline, for that question. I know, knowing you, that it hit home for sure. So I'm going to let you sit with that for a minute. Okay. And then I have a question from Renetta, and she's asking, I'm assuming this is what she wants to ask. What is stopping her from living fully?
Fear, really. That's what prevents all of you really from living fully, is the fear of change. Because you feel if you change or you feel that you're moving into a new path, you're letting somebody down. You're letting something in that sense that you feel is unknown to yourself to become a part of your reality. And it's a fear of the unknown. It's a fear in that sense of trying to bring in change as an ally, as a companion. Rather than that sense, you're feeling again, am I disappointing somebody if I go this way? Am I letting somebody else down if I don't follow this path? Or what if I'm too scared because this will bring me into a new transformation that I can't expect? So again, the same that we have just stated previously with the other would also be a recommendation to you. Feel love. Here's the thing. Many of you humans, in fact, almost all of you, have been in this particular type of program where you have learned to fear everything, every single thing within your reality. If change comes about, you fear it because you have been programmed to do that. That's what this artificial system of reality has attempted to do to you. This is, again, why it represents the idea of the sheep people, because it comes down to the point where the sheep are afraid to move away from their herd. If they move away from their herd, they're moving themselves away from what they're unfamiliar with. So what you want to do is you want to become re-familiarized with what you are as a whole, entitled, liberated, passionate person. So being able to bring so much love into yourself that you don't care if something's fearful anymore, because you're so much in love with what you're doing. You're so much in love with who you are. You're so much in love with the world and everybody in it, that fear does not exist anymore. Fear requires you to be lost. It requires you to be confused. It requires you to be misinformed. It requires you to feel like you are ultimately abandoned and separated. When that no longer becomes a part of your life anymore, and you're just complimenting yourself on a daily basis, you're making yourself a wonderful breakfast, you're going for a nice walk, you're exercising, you're talking to a loved one on the phone, whatever it may be, you're filling yourself with so much love and so much appreciation with yourself and saying, this is what change is. Change is all about me being able to love myself, to appreciate who I am, to being able to live a life that I know is who I naturally am. That's what's going to make the difference here. So again, you can stay within fear, again, being a sheep that's basically contained in this herd, afraid to leave the compound, or you can say, nope, I'm not a sheep anymore. I'm standing up as a human being, and I'm walking out of this gate because I feel the love within myself, and I'm going to explore my world. I'm going to look into my inner universe, and I'm going to create magnificently. And now the other sheep are looking at you and saying, where are you going? What do you think you're doing? How come you're able to leave the pasture? How come you're able to get out of here? Because I woke up. Because I'm not following the status quo anymore. Because I'm not relying on my external reality, on the mainstream media, on everybody else that is so highly programmed within this reality that feels that they know what they're talking about when in fact they don't have a clue. And I'm now being able to move on to greener pastures because I've decided to take responsibility for myself. And if you all want, you can come with me. Some may go, some may stay. But again, you're not responsible for anybody else. You're responsible for you. You're following your love. And if people that you meet in that sense want to know more about this along the way, you can certainly lead a helping hand. But it's about being the example of love itself. That's what brings about the grandest teaching.
Awesome. Thank you. And then Julie has a question, two questions, but I'm going to start with the first one. She said her jaw has started to hurt ever since Adronis, you came in.
Her jaw has started to hurt?
Yeah.
All right. So again, this is letting you know that there's something there within the jaw that represents pressure, that represents strain. Now, basically what happens is that as we enter your spaces, in that sense, this is exactly what's happening, is that an energetic reciprocation of our energy is bonding together with all of you that are tuning into this transmission. And we're letting you know, in that sense, the strain that you're putting upon your jaw. And so it is representing the idea of you aligning to a higher energy. Well, before you were at a lower energy, and now you're starting to notice your frequency starting to move up, and now you're noticing these particular areas that are attempting to, shall we say, resolve themselves based upon a great deal of strain. So we feel in that sense that you may be the clenching down type, the feeling that when you're stressed out, you're clenching down your teeth, you're clenching down your jaw. This may also be an effect when you're sleeping as well too, and that you have all kinds of stressful buildup around the areas of the jaw. So again, what we would suggest is doing the heavenly breath as well. Breathing in and pulling out all of that energy from the jaw and releasing. Simple breathing in, nice and slowly in, nice and slowly out, and repeat and repeat and repeat until that jaw feels completely at peace. And that will be what you can help to align yourself fully to the frequency that we are providing with you now.
Awesome. Thank you. And she's also asking, how do you replace feelings of abuse, abandonment, rejection, separation with love?
Love itself needs to be as strong or as much more than the idea of the traumas themselves. So if you feel that your fear of failure or the aspect of rejection in that sense is far up here, you need to make your love at least up to here or even greater. Because now when your love towers and eclipses those aspects of old fear, of old traumas, those traumas are now mutable because now you see above them. When you live below them, they're towering over you and saying, we're in charge now. We're going to make you feel miserable. When you make yourself big with love, now you're towering over them and saying, no, I'm going to forgive you now. I'm going to bring love and compassion to all of you and make you into the new me. Because this is all just part of my energy within my being right now that's distorted. And what I'm doing is I'm purifying my energy. And as my energy becomes purified, I'm able to take that energy and put it into reserves of my body. So I can now heal my organs. I can now heal areas of my body because I've now replenished new vital energy based upon what was once contaminated. So now that which is no longer contaminated is now part of the purity of yourself. You'll notice you have more energy. You'll notice your vitality boosts. You'll notice you have new alignments to that which complements you based upon how you feel about yourself. You'll start to feel harmoniously informed with what serves you because you've been able to decontaminate yourself from all of these energies that have been that have caused stagnancy within yourself for quite some time.
Awesome. Thank you. And then Suzanne had a question about how can we get our feminine and masculine energies to support each other and come into balance?
Which means that you are being spiritually grounded. You are being intuitively grounded, which means that you are not afraid to look into your emotions and you're not afraid to ground those things to bring them into practicality in some way. So again, if that's all about, shall we say, working together and helping you to heal a lot more, then you're working with these grounded concepts that are helping you to heal because the feeling gateways have opened up these opportunities of intuition to inform you about what's lacking within your life. So again, it all comes down into the idea of putting as much love on top of lack as possible. Lack in that sense is what represents the aspects of trauma, representing distorted emotions that are again causing you to feel inferior, causing you to feel despair and depression. And so as you start to work together with the energies of your love again starts to become higher, starts to become taller, overshadows that aspect of the hatred, overshadows the aspect of the fear and the trauma, and now it's becoming integral together with your love. So the whole idea here in working together with your masculine and feminine counterparts is to honor both sides of those polarities. Honor the nurturing, loving, emotional feeling of your feminine. Honor the rational, logical aspect of your masculine because the masculine is following the feminine. It's not the other way around. Masculine can't lead the feminine. Mm-hmm. Can't be done. The feminine is the one of the higher source. It is the one that is bringing in the blueprints. It is the one that is bringing in the inceptions, the conjuring of everything. it brings it over to the masculine and says, okay, masculine, build this. This is what we need constructed. Okay, absolutely, no problem. So it is like looking at the relationship between the queen bee and the worker bee. That's the feminine and the masculine. The masculine obeys the feminine and starts to work together in harmony, patternizing and materializing what it is practically that can be utilized in regards to the inception that the queen bee, in that sense, is bringing forward to the masculine bee. So you have to look at this in the beehive analogy. But again, the queen calls the shots. She gives birth to everything. And the worker bees are around her just patternizing everything, making everything together, obeying their queen. So we're talking about the inner feminine within yourself, to where the inner masculine is building your inner feminine passion, your inner feminine concept in that particular way. And again, this is letting you know more about the true respect and appreciation of the feminine. Because here's the thing. In your earlier times of Earth, women were in charge. It wasn't men. Mm-hmm. Ever. That only came from the idea of dominance. That came from the idea of trying to create empires. Women were never into creating empires. They were all about working together with community. They were working about helping people. They represented much more, quote unquote, utopian aspects. Whereas the masculine, when it's being completely distorted, is all about building empires and building hierarchies and trying to control everything. Because that's what the masculine does. It builds, it patternizes, it orders, it manipulates, it tries to get everything together. Feminine doesn't do that. Feminine is about bringing together. It is about holding hands and communing together with all life and sharing everything on an equal level. This is what needs to be rebalanced through all of you.
Awesome. Thank you. And is it possible to do a short process on moving forward with ease or having clarity on our path or purpose or moving forward?
Step number one, give time for yourself. Step number two, raise your love within yourself, so that you are observable in regards to what is taking place within yourself. Step number three, document where you feel your own aspects of woes or contaminations of traumas in that sense are existing. What they represent. Are they abandonment? Are they rejection? Are they abuse? Do not get too hung up on the story. But just saying, I remember at 6 years old, this happened and this triggered abandonment within me. Good. Now you've been able to document that. Step number four, raising your love vibration so that's higher than this fear, that this trauma, and therefore being able to transmute that old fearful energy based upon love and compassion. So you're bringing love and compassion into yourself and you're applying it to all of the distortions of trauma to therefore become purified once again. Step number five, allow transmutation to occur. So you're allowing that transformation to take place. You're transmuting this energy. It's becoming whole again, and it's now boosting your vitality up again. Step number six, be consistent with change. And so as you've changed through that transmutation, you're now allowing that to be nurtured. You're being consistent with nurturing your energy so that you're not raising the dead, as it were. So when your own traumas have been resolved with your love, you're not trying to go back to them through the ego and saying, oh, I remember when this happened to me and it was so horrible and I really didn't like it. Guess what's happening? A hand's coming out of the grave and you're raising the dead. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very important that you're being consistent with love and saying, do not raise the dead. Allow those traumas to rest in peace because they've been reborn into my love. And that's what's going to allow the transformation to continually happen because I'm nurturing through consistency. If you continue to do this and repeat these steps on a daily basis, you'll become a new person and you'll be adaptable to change because change is now becoming your companion.
Whew, okay, awesome. Thank you. And, you know, I still, you know, one of the questions that Julie had asked a while ago, it's still coming up for me, is like, what is love exactly? You know, it's like, can you, like, is it appreciation? Is it gratitude? What is that?
All right. When you love somebody else, what are you feeling? Why love that person at all? Why?
Yeah.
Do you know why? Because you accept them as who they are.
Right.
You don't try to change them. There's nothing there that needs to be changed. I love who they are. So what is that telling you about love? Unconditional acceptance of everything existing that does not need to change. So being able to follow love is to have complete acceptance, allowance, and appreciation for everything that exists because you do not need to change it. Beyond love, there is compassion. Compassion is actually stronger than love. Did you know that? Why is it stronger than love? Because compassion was brewed from suffering. Love wasn't. Love is always there. Mm-hmm. Love is the catalyst that's actually creating this detonation that creates an even greater aspect of feeling beyond love. It is compassion. So compassion was created by suffering. So through the idea about you understand why somebody is suffering, and what do? You offer them love. Why? Because you're compassionate. So here's love and here's compassion. So again, compassion needs to be created through love. But when it's actually, shall we say, created that detonation of being to come together, it is the idea that hatred and fear and confusion bonded together with love. And you could say they had a child. Mm-hmm. And it therefore blasted. And now compassion comes out of the equation. Compassionate is the highest vibration of a highly calibrated love that you will ever experience. So when you are compassionate towards people, you are, shall we say, love plus. Mm-hmm. That is the higher degree of love vibration. Because again, it required shadow and it required light to bond themselves together and to therefore create this new equilibrium to which compassion itself was born. So when you're compassionate towards a person, not only are you accepting in that sense about what they're going through, you understand what they're going through. And now through the relationship of what you have understood through that state of compassion, you become gratefully abundant with love to assist.
Awesome. Thank you. And so if we had more compassion for ourselves,
you'll never suffer because you went through suffering in that sense to realize how you could stimulate love to a higher degree. Yeah. So again, compassion is indeed love to a certain degree, but love is its catalyst. Suffering itself was also a catalyst to compassion. So it is the idea of the black and the white coming together to create that next step up of compassion.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.
That's why when you work with a compassion, it's the highest vibration there is next to God.
Mm-hmm.
When you're connecting with God itself, it's just purity. There is no aspect of, shall we say, ambition or passion or anything of that nature. It's just pure isness.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. Compassion is just one step under God. Here's love, here's compassion, here's God.
And what about grace?
Grace again represents more of a degree to which you are allowing someone else or through yourself the ability to hold space. Really, when you're working together with gracefulness, you're not being quick acting. You're not feeling that you're, again, blazing the trail here. You're holding space for yourself or for others. And so, again, that represents something below love just a little bit. Because the idea of holding space is you're more so being still. But, again, you're still feeling yourself. You're still allowing that particular aspect that's been touched by love. But there is no aspect in regards to understanding. It's not understanding, it's holding space. So when you're understanding, you're moving into compassion. Mm-hmm. So here's compassion, here's love, here's joy, here's excitement, here's grace, etc. And it goes down the ladder of love, which means they're all part of components that make love what it is. And then when love and darkness itself come together and explode, now you have compassion born from that hybridization between two polarities.
And Julie's asking, and I think this is a question for all of us, how can I fall in love with me again?
By knowing that you accept yourself to the degree that will allow you to change to be the person that you wish to be. So again, if you want to fall in love, we would not even say the word fall,
mm-hmm.
because that's what's actually gotten you in this first place. It's the idea of rising in love. when you're rising in love with yourself, you're bringing compassion towards yourself. You're not being so hard of yourself and saying, oh, well, I had all this in my head since I was 10 years old, and now I wasted the last 25 years of my life not knowing that this trauma existed. Oh, I hate myself so much. And that's not going into compassion. That's you playing the game through the ego, because the ego wants you to blame itself. The ego wants you to be disrupted. The ego wants you to be in convolution with who you are, because it doesn't know how to guide you, and it's been programmed to corrupt yourself. So when you start deprogramming the ego by, again, making yourself feel lighter, embracing love and embracing compassion, now you're no longer in that ego program. It's been deflated so much that it now comes back into its original design. Do you know what the original design of the ego was to do?
Can just control you.
No. What it was meant to do was tether you to the physical plane, was to give the idea of relevance to this physical reality. That's it. It's a grounding device. It's a grounding technology. It's never meant to control you, ever. You put that into the ego through all these misconceived perceptions of what you feel reality was. And it grew and it grew and it grew and grew until it became so out of control that now you feel like you were going bonkers because you've allowed an overinflated ego to guide you. Ego can't guide. It can't. It doesn't know how. It's no more different than a memory device. It just stores information, and it's remembering, just like the idea of what you would know as predictive text on a cell phone, trying to predict what word you're going to use next because of memory. So an overinflated ego is created by what?
All of your memories.
Memories, correct. Yeah. Because you remember about how you put so much focus into something that doesn't serve you, and the ego captures that. And so, okay, that's what she does for focus. That's what he does for focus. And now you build it up and build it up and build it up and build it up. And now the ego is completely contaminated with all of these ill-conceived states of focus because it feels that that's how you're able to live your life. So it's only able as a program, as a type of intelligence, artificially in that way, that is attempting to get an idea about what it is you're feeling and how it's going to predict that you're going to move your own energy into this particular type of state of focus. But when you change yourself and move more into an upliftment, it can't predict you anymore because you're moving into new ground, and now it becomes frustrated because it can't predict you. So what you need to do is being able to take that very big balloon of ego and start deflating it. And guess what's contained in all those egos, in all that aspect of your ego itself? Your pain, your suffering, your traumas, your focuses that do not represent yourself. They all need to be deflated. As they become deflated, you're no longer having an ego that's trying to run your life. It's now simpatico together with change, which means it's working together with you now rather than against you. It is not an aspect of control. It's something that you have created into control.
Interesting. The whole ego thing is always like above my head. It's like, what? I didn't even...
So when you form a companionship through compassion with the ego, now the ego works alongside you. It says, oh, Laura, let's get up this morning and let's do a nice yoga stretch because we know how much you loved that the other day. Oh, that's a good idea, ego. Thank you so much for sharing that. You see how you're now companions?
Yes.
You're not fighting against each other. You're not taking out the sword. You're not clashing against one another. You're now working together on a common line. And that's what the ego is meant to do. And it's meant to be integrated so much to the point where you won't even have an ego anymore because you've aligned so much to the higher self. But again, in the meantime, it's working together with you as a companion, and it no longer sabotages you. It's working together in your favor because you've reprogrammed it that way.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
We will now conclude this interaction. We thank all of you for this beautiful transmission. I am Adronis of Sirius, and we now return to the conduit. We will speak to you again, as now is forever. All is one, and love is essence. Goodbye for now.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Yeah. So that's Adronis. And again, I do have private sessions on my website. If you guys wanted to talk to him, there's 15-minute, 30-minute, and 60-minute sessions available. And he's a mirror for you, right? So anything that you really want to talk about, there's no limits to what you want to discuss. Any topic goes, really. It's personal readings. It's generalized information. He's a living universal encyclopedia, as I state. He's just able to share information on basically any topic. So I know a lot of people have fun with him. So again, that is available if you want to check that out on newearthteachings.com.
And it's also part of Package B. There's a 30-minute session.
Yes. That's
right. Part of Package B, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can take a look at the special offer page. This is at alara.at/show/Brad, or you can just click on the special offer link. So there's two packages, A and B, and A is
There's the Adronis four-phase courses. So that's a lot of Adronis's knowledge that's contained in that. There's over 12 hours of spiritual education in that entire package. And then secondly, there is what's known as the Merkaba meditation series, which is actually helping you to understand your light body and actually how to work with meditation to actually start to activate and enable your own light body to travel different dimensions, heal yourself, the sky's the limit, right? So there's a lot of teaching in that as well too. So there's those two things. And of course, in the Package B, there's also the 30-minute session included.
Yeah. So please take a look at those. And what I did notice, because I know somebody had asked, I think Linda had asked about the Akashic Records, and there is one of the processes in one of those packages talks about the Akashic Records anyways, for sure.
Yeah, you can find that in the phase courses, in the Adronis phase courses.
Yeah, and probably stuff about the higher self as well, right? Connecting with your higher self.
Yes, absolutely. Connecting the higher self, connecting to your guides, self-empowerment. And it's very, very vast. Astral projection, out-of-body experience. It's quite large. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you can find a lot in there. So there's also my YouTube channel that you can check out as well, too. There's a lot of information. You can find that on my website also.
Yeah, and there's lots of videos. So there's lots of information. But just, you know, like Brad had said earlier, you know, don't take it all, just what you need right now.
What you feel your higher self is guiding you. So it's saying, oh, go to the YouTube channel and check it out. Go ahead. Right. So let your higher self, let your own heart be your guiding light and saying, okay, this is what you're doing. If you're worrying too much about fear and politics and you're saying, heart, do I really need that? No, not at all. Let it go. Let it go. Right. So just follow the guiding light to where the heart beams you forward.
And you also have a gift for all the subscribers, which I'm going to be adding to the email that I send out.
Yes, later. This is referred to as connecting to the God-mind meditation. So very similar to what I was talking about earlier about going into the theta state and connecting with your God-mind. So that meditation will take you there.
Awesome. And so Julie says, because I was talking about this show earlier with my group, and so she was directed to watch this today, you know, because of the healing call we just did half an hour ago. So she loved it. Yay. I'm glad you're here, Julie. Yeah, awesome. And go back, you know, for some of you, go back and watch this again, you know, or listen to it again, because I know there was a lot of information, especially about the love and the heart and the, you know, because even for me, it's like, what exactly? You know, but I mean, mm-hmm. I got it now. But there is so much information, so please do watch it again. If you're guided to, you know, obviously. And it's always about if you feel like it.
I'm pretty sure everybody's on this call, so they'll know to go back to it.
Yeah. No, this was brilliant. And like I said, there's so much information and teachings and exercises in the package. When I was creating the download page, like, wow, more. There's a lot. You know, so it's like, please do, you know, if it resonates with you, take a look at it. And then, you know, it all comes down to, are you willing, like, what are you willing to do for yourself? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to get real? Are you willing to move forward into what you truly desire, right? Or are you going to stay in the fear matrix and just not change at all and just continue to be the same? I'm not about, you know, change so just for change's sake. But if something is not working in your life, then maybe there's something there that needs to shift and change.
Well, the great realization that you are aware of all of these things is by being present, right? Is by being in the moment. The more that you're present, the more that you're actually basically invincible, right? You're able to have so much vitality energy because it's just between you, your spirit, and what you are therefore focusing on in that moment. So the past and the future are side effects, right? They're created by the illusion of continuity. And that's why we experience a feeling of past and the future, but we've never actually experienced it. We're just experiencing right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right? We've only created the substance of memory that brings about the past and the future. The fear of a possibility of a future outcome or again, what we feel guilty or fearful of in the past as well too. We create that through memory. So again, this is a very, very important thing as well. If it's not personally affecting you here and now, it is tangible. It is able to be reshaped, right? So when you're looking at yourself right now and you're in a room and you're looking at the screen and you're looking at everything else around you, make an equilibrium with that present moment, right? Be in peace with that present moment. Because now that anything comes up in your memory, say, this is all just malleable stuff. My memory is reprogrammable, which means it doesn't matter the harshest form of trauma that you've had in the past. That can actually be reshaped if you're bringing enough love to equal or greater attract, bring about a higher aspect of overshadowing that aspect of negativity, right? So everything within memory is transformable, is reprogrammable, and can therefore serve you if you're willing to reprogram it in that way that represents love and compassion.
Hmm. Yep, absolutely. And just, you know, just as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, oh, what about all the trauma? What about, you know, all my stories are coming up and saying, what about that story? That was so important, you know?
Like, and you know what Adronis would say? And he said, well, Adronis, what about my stories? Who cares? Right? Yeah. And that's the whole idea, is you're giving it power. You're giving those particular forms of stories power and saying, yeah. Oh, you know, I got into this drama and this drama and this drama. And Adronis would say, oh, it's nice that you enjoy melodrama, mm-hmm. because that's all you're doing, is you're creating a soap opera out of your memories, right? Come into the basis of the mechanic about what this is attempting to tell you. You're experiencing this because you felt abandoned. You're experiencing this because you felt traumatized in some type of way. That's all you need from it. Don't worry about the hoof and fluff about mm-hmm. the aspect of stories and the aspects of drama. That's what the ego craves, and yeah. you don't need it, right? The ego wants to keep it. Oh, no, okay, Alara, stay here. Stay with your story. I want to show you all this melodrama. I want to show you exactly how this big balloon of ego got inflated, right? Yeah. You don't need to do that, right? Because shadow wants to tell you everything. It wants to give you drama and drama and drama and drama and drama and tell you everything about how everything connected together with everything else. And that's shadow's law. That's what I call shadow law, right? Mm-hmm. Shadow law will tell you everything. Light tells you nothing, because it is the result of purification. Light is just a purification energy. So when you're going into light, you're becoming the aspect of wisdom. You become the realization of aligning everything that came from shadow to become part of light. So look at it as the charcoal and the diamond within, right? Mm-hmm. You break apart the charcoal, the diamond is then, because it has been hardened by all of this drama, by all of this shadow. When that charcoal cracks and you're now holding the diamond, it's the result of you being able to break through the shadow. So you move past shadow law and you come into light law, which is purification, which is wisdom in that way. And light has nothing to teach you. It is a result of what you have been able to extract out of yourself to become that diamond. So therefore, it becomes beingness. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between, this is the whole idea. So we're not really light workers. We're actually shadow workers, right? You're working through your shadows to become this diamond, right? Yeah. Yeah. And now this diamond, when you become the diamond, certainly you're not really a light worker. You're a light beer in that way, right? Mm-hmm. You're being a light being, right? That's why they call it a light being, yeah. a being of light. They're not dramatized. Oh my God, I got kicked out of work today, blah, 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 blah. They're not talking about all that stuff. They are the purification. They're the energy of what you are. That's your true nature right there. And so you're just aligning to that. You're breaking past shadow and you're coming into love. You're coming into light.
Awesome. Thank you. And that's what we're all striving for and moving towards. It's just being, you know, being light and just being us, the totality and the greatness of who we truly be. Not all the shadow, not all the stories, not all the trauma and drama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're showing appreciation for the shadow as well, too, because if you look at it in a disdainful way, it can just repel you and bring you right back into itself in that sense, right? Yeah. Be thankful for everything that you have done in life, even if it's times that have been very, very hard, because if you don't, then again, you're raising the dead, like what Adronis was saying, right? It's nice to not allow it to rest in peace, a hand's coming out of the grave, right? Yeah. Be thankful for everything that's happened, even though through your struggles, because it's through those struggles that have made you the person that you are. Mm-hmm. Honor your shadow as well as the light.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Acknowledge, you know, the teachings, the wisdom, the experiences that you've had and are still experiencing, but what is your focus, right? It's always about what is your focus? Are you focusing on the story or are you mm-hmm. focusing on moving forward into the light? Right.
Right. You got it.
So thank you. Does anybody have any last questions for today?
Or well, we have some people on the video. Does anybody want to like unmute themselves and say hi?
They're so shy. Renetta, come on.
Hi, I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie.
I just purchased something, your biggest one that you have, because I definitely, I was meant to be on this call for sure.
Great.
How's your jaw now? Sorry,
it's gone. It totally went away.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole idea, is you're just bringing new equilibrium of a higher vibration into yourself, and that pain's going away. Right?
And my body was rocking the whole time too.
Oh, good. Yeah. You were joining me.
I didn't know what it was, but I couldn't stop. It just kept rocking.
Well, it's kind of like being in a rhythm, right? You're in a rhythm of movement, and it's actually helping you to metabolize the energy that's coming in. It's like you're in a vortex. And you start moving. Sometimes people can jolt. Sometimes people can rotate like I do. Some people can start to shake in that way. It's their own body metabolizing the energy to basically shake out the old purging of energy, the stagnant energies, and bring in this new energy. So Adronis refers to this as the hourglass meditation, is that you basically have a gigantic triangle above your head, and it's connecting down to the navel chakra. And then there's an inverted triangle going down from the navel chakra into the ground. And so you're bringing in all this energy, and you're purging out all the harshness, and it's going into the earth. So that is forming equilibrium with the new energy that's coming in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So grateful to meet you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you. Thank you for being
Alara.
Here.
Thank you, Alara.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you very much. It was, you answered a lot of my questions today, and I appreciate it. I'm Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Thank you, Alara, again.
Oh, you're so welcome, Linda. I'm glad you made it to the call.
Me too.
I know I didn't get to all of your questions, but we got most of them.
I'm going to listen like 10 times. It was just so good. Just blowing my mind.
Well, I'll be happy to come back again one time, and we'll definitely talk some more.
Yeah, because there's still so much more to talk about, isn't there, Julie? There's still so much coming up.
My head is like question after question after question. And I'm just like, whoa.
Excellent. Wow. Oh, that's good. It's all these things that need to come out, right?
But remember, you did say something about when something's right. Well, I don't know if you said that, but that's the way I was interpreting it in my head. If something is right, it'll make you feel good to do it.
It's okay to say through yourself what is right and wrong, because you understand the polarities between that. When it's basically trying to go into the outside world to determine to another what's right and wrong, you can't do that because they're in their own reality, right? So whatever is right and wrong to you will always be valid because that's what you're focusing upon.
Yeah.
So it's all right to certainly use that term.
Because this was very, very like my body was tingling. Like when I was purchasing it, I was like shaking because I was so excited. Oh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew I was supposed to do it.
That's a good sign. Yeah, it's a good sign.
I was like, I have to do this. This is an answer. You know.
Excellent. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. And Renetta, do you want to say something? No. Being shy.
No, that's okay. Well, again, overall, thank you everybody for having me on today. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed the almost 90 minutes that we've been here. So again, feel free to enjoy those courses. And again, for those of you who have sessions, you can book through me with the voucher that you have as well too. I'm going to be taking a summer vacation next week. So I'll probably get around to you guys probably around the end of August. So the rest of my week is pretty much all booked up. And then next week I'll be off. So end of August, we'll start doing those sessions. So it should be a lot of fun.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for your question. Oh, Mary Jo says my brain explodes.
Well, that's a good thing too. So, all right, thank you so much, everybody. You take care and have a wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you so much, Brad, and thank you everyone for all of your questions, being present, and like I said, go back and listen to this again, go watch it again. There's so much information, and so until next time, continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Sending you all much love and blessings always.
Yay!
Bye for now.